All right, Romans chapter 5. I want to start in verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Now I want to deal with the offense. And if I came up here and marked your life, this is your life, and this is the beginning of your life, and here's the end. So I'm going to put birthday over here, and this is your death day over here, and this is your life in between there. And we've all committed sins, and everybody pretty much knows that they're sinners. They've committed sins and all along their lives, and we've all made mistakes. Amen. There's not any good person. We know that. But what happens is people lose sight of it. Back when Wayne was growing up, Wayne told me that they believed dancing was a sin and going to a movie. Well, you know, people are confused what sin is. And that's part of the problem with our society today. They don't know what sin is. We don't. We have really no true understanding of sin. And partly, go to 1 John. Hold on to Romans because we're going to come back. But go to 1 John. I can't get it to flip. There we go. 1 John 3. And look, if you will, in verse 4. Whosoever committeth sins transgresses also the what? For, you notice the colons there, right? And what does colons mean? Yeah, you've got a statement, but the colon means that the whatever's on this side is a more further instruction to what was here. Isn't that right, Bronx? She's our English teacher. If you wonder who our English teacher is, gosh, if I had an English teacher as pretty as you, I'd have tried to learn. Mine was so mean and ugly, I had a hard time learning from her. And she's kind of like my piano teacher. No, my piano teacher is not ugly, that's for sure. She's beautiful. She's 72 and she is absolutely unbelievable. Verse 4. For whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin, everybody, say it with me. For sin is transgression of the law. That's what sin is. And so people think dancing, he didn't say thou shalt not dance. It wasn't in the law. Thou shalt not play cards. How many heard that playing cards were a sin? Hey, come on. Thou shalt not go to movies. It didn't say that. And they want to cover those things. And the reason that people want to cover things like movies, dancing, well, they probably weren't any good at dancing anyway, right? I mean, amen. So, you know, they could do that. These were things that they could keep from doing, even though they were breaking the laws of God. Y'all understand? They just reinvented the laws of God to do things that they could do to make you look like you're a sinner. Does that make sense? I mean, that's what religion has always done. They've tried to give it so that you look worse than they. So they give you a set of rules that they can keep, but you might not be able to. For example, people that don't smoke say, well, smoking is a sin. Do you realize that Spurgeon, one of the great orators of the Word of God, smoked cigars from the pulpit? Boy, they sure did. The realization is that they make up rules, just, you know, whatever. God never said, thou shalt not smoke a stogie. But we look at people that smoke stogies, well, they're not very much of a Christian. And the reason we do that is because of the influx of religion. And I was driving home last night with Brenda after the conference, and, you know, I'm like overwhelmed evaluating in my mind some of the things I heard. And partly the whole thing is we hear things and we accept them as truth. All of that is very, you got to be very cautious. If I get up and say, well, this is the way it is, you say, well, Barry's an authority. Right? It must be true. You've just erred in the faith. You're supposed to be what? Bereans. You're supposed to search it out to see if, you know what? Preachers wouldn't be getting away with half the stuff they'd be getting away with if men in the congregation were truly students of the Word of God. Somebody would stand up and say, but preacher, that's not so. I always love the different versions of the Bible. I'd love to get a preacher preaching out of the NIV and tell him to read Matthew 18, verse 11. Quick on his feet. Some explanation of why it wasn't there. You know, think about it. Yeah. Yeah. Go find the originals. Law is law. The thing about the law is it's steadfast. It doesn't change. It doesn't change for Bill. It doesn't change for Jan. It doesn't change for Jim. It doesn't change for anybody. But religion has always changed. Go to Matthew 15. Always changed it. And we let it sneak in by tradition. Matthew 15. Verse 1. Matthew 15, verse 1. Then came Jesus' scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why did thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash out their hands when they eat bread. Now, my mother used to quote that to us all the time. Not the verse, but she'd say, wash your hands before you eat. Wash your hands before you eat. And Jesus Christ answers them back and says, but he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? And he gives them an example. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. Now, Bronx is a school teacher. There are some of the kids that should have probably died. Stoned, right? I mean, their parents they didn't honor their parents. They're dishonored. In the Old Testament, what they did was take those kids out and stone them to death. And all the other kids would go, whoop, don't want to do that. Yeah, whoop, whoa, you know. That kind of thing comes about where their traditions said, well, you know, let's not kill our kids. You know, it's probably not the best idea. You know, we may not have a lot of kids, you know. Let's not kid. But you say, that is the religious people, whosoever shall say his father or to his mother, it's a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father and mother, shall be free. They could offer a gift. Well, that is not what God said. You all understand? So they just changed the Word of God just a little bit. Just a little bit there. And it seems reasonable. You see, that's the whole thing. It seems reasonable that you ought not to kill your kids. I mean, Hannah would have been gone by now. No, I'm just kidding. She's like, Y'all understand? I would not be here preaching. But I bet my brothers and sisters would have tightened it up a notch. You know, I mean, come on. The law is steadfast. It doesn't move. And sin is transgression of the law. And the law entered. God didn't enter the law to make a man righteous. How many, remember how it slowly changes? The law entered that the, what? Offense might abound. Remember that in Romans chapter 5? Well, think about this for just a minute. Honestly. Most of us were taught that after we got saved, we ought to keep the law. See, that was a little slip. Because someone said, well, you know, it seems like we ought to be moral. You know, we're Christians, you know. We ought to have some morality. And so they set the law as a moral guideline. There is a huge difference, listen to me, between being moral and being spiritual. Well, that's important to understand. You may be immoral, but you can be spiritual. Say, well, what are you talking about, David? He was immoral. Wouldn't you say an adulterer, murderer guy would be immoral? And yet he was a man after God's own heart. The point that I'm making is religion changes things. And they change it, and then you don't check it out. You don't read the Word of God. You don't go and listen to it. You just let it go. And you know, you just suck it in and you say, well, that must be the way. And I was thinking about last night as we heard a man preach. Nothing he said was wrong. He just said it. Well, you know what? That's not what the Bible said. The Bible didn't say give up and give an oration. Look what the Bible said to do. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. See, I believe that we make a huge mistake. Well, I have a doctor's degree, therefore I am the authority. Well, who died and left you the boss? You know, that's not what he said. Listen, you guys want to preach? You guys want to teach the Word of God? Get up and preach the Word. Show them what you believe in the Word. Say, well, I believe that. Really? Well, then show me what you believe in the Bible. Well, I can't really do that. Well, hang on. You say you believe it, but you can't prove it to me. Does that make any sense? I believe it, but I can't prove it to you. Well, then you're believing in fables. You got it? Because this is what he told us to do. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Verse 2. Now watch this. This is it. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Here's the verse. Preach the word. You know what? Preach the word. Get it out. Show it. I'll never forget Brother Moore. I went to his church for the first time and he said, turn to Romans. And I'm like, is that in the Bible? I had only heard Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John my whole life. Honestly, I'm telling you the absolute truth. And I could find Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John when he said, turn to Romans. I'm thinking, Romans? Really, that's in the Bible? When he said, turn to 1 Thessalonians, I was convinced that that was, he was playing a trick on me. I wasn't falling for it. Brenda said, turn your Bible. I'm like, huh? There ain't no 1 Thessalonians. Yeah, it's right here. And she flipped my pages for me. Didn't you have to flip my pages? I didn't even know which way to turn. I've been to church all my life. You know, I could preach about baptism if the only verse you ever heard about baptism was Acts 2:38. And that's the only one you've ever heard preach. You'd have to believe that to be true. Unless you've been taught to question things and search it out. Well, what does the Word say about that? And you look up every word. I remember sitting the men down. Terry, were you there when we studied baptism? It was Terry and Larry and Barry Childers. I forgot who else. There was like five of us or six of us. Huh? Don Anderson was there. Archie. We sat around my dining room table. We met like on Thursday or I forgot what day, Tuesday or Thursday. And I took them in and I said, okay, let's see how to study this thing up. We went through. And you know, the reaction was, is why can't other preachers do this? Not sit around, but why don't they just research they could take a concordance, a dictionary, and a King James Bible, and we went through every verse that had to do with baptism. What words would you look up if you were gonna, deal on baptism? Baptism being number one. What else? Washings. A diver's washing, we'll include that with the washing. What else? Purification? Sanctification? Might be something you want to look up. And you look all that. You know what you're going to find out? There's more than one baptism in the Bible. So how is it that some of these preachers get up and preach that there's only two baptisms when there is absolutely an evident that there's more than two? How is that possible when they have concordance? They don't want to preach the truth to you. I had a guy preached in the church right down the street from where I used to live. And the guy said, I believe more like you than the church. I said, really? He said, yeah, but I can't preach that. They'd fire me. Isn't that an interesting statement? They compromise the truth to have a job. He said, preach the word. How? Be instant? Well, then do you need to go to seminary? No, you need to know what it is you believe in the Word of God and be able to prove it by the Word. Be instant. If I said, look, is Paul your apostle? What verse comes to mind, Tony? Romans 11, verse 13, that's what verse should come to mind. Then Romans 15, 16. And you should have it. Why? It should be what? Instant. Y'all understand? Instant. And if you haven't got it done, you don't have to read the Bible. You don't have to read 12 chapters a day. Just get the doctrine down. Y'all understand? If you can't prove that Paul, I should be able to call on Jim and say, Jim, come up here and teach on Paul being your apostle. And every verse that's in there, he should have a note or somehow to get to, because if he believes it, he ought to be able to prove it. Y'all understand? And I'm talking just a layman. If you believe it, you ought to be able to show it by chapter and verse. You shouldn't be able to go, well, this is what I believe. Say, let me show you in the Word of God what it is I believe. Now, let me tell you, the difference is the power is the Word. The authority will never be Barry Hampton. The authority is the King James Bible in your lap. That's the authority of Almighty God. It is not me. So when he says, preach the Word, be instant, what does he mean? Man, listen, you want me to preach on baptism today? I'm prepared. People say, well, do you study for a message? No, I don't. Not one message do I really sit down and say, okay, this is what I'm going to, I don't do that. You know what I do? I study for me so that I can be approved of God. Y'all understand? I'm studying for me. And you know what I do with that study first? As I wash my wife in the Word with it. I sit down and read to her try to be the man of God, wash her with the Word. And then if someone has, Carlton comes in and asks, what about this? I should be able to answer. And that's exactly being instant is all about. In season and out of season. Whenever. You shouldn't have to go, well, let me go home and study this out. Bless God, you ought to know what it is you believe. And you know what? I can guarantee you one of the reasons people say all the time, says, how do you remember all these verses? The difference is I witnessed to thousands of people before, right after I got saved. I showed thousands, I'm literally saying thousands of people. I know Jim's been out there showing people, you know, all the time. The more you show it, the better you get at it, don't you? And so, you know, the people say, well, I can't do it. Well, you know what? That's because you're not showing it enough. You're holding all your beliefs inside. You know what? You're supposed to get it out of your mouth and into other people's ears. It doesn't do you any good if you're gaining all this knowledge and you're not sharing it at all. They're sitting in the confused state. Some person probably sat there and deceived them that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I did really enjoy the fact that that preacher last night said that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, none of those people were planning to go to heaven. Did you all hear that sermon that I did on going to heaven? In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's not a single person going to heaven. Not one. They're all inheriting the earth. Heaven came down and glory filled the earth. Well, that's their hope is the earth. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Why? For the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. Well, that just doesn't sound right to kill your kids. Let's just say if they offer a gift, they can be free. You know, we'll just change it. Doesn't sound right. And they get slowly turned on the fables. And you know what? That's what the men of God, listen, you guys are important. Bill, you're important. Jim, you're important. Tony, important, brother. You men of God are the people that need to make sure that the preaching of the Word of God from this pulpit stays right. And you don't have to embarrass somebody who says something immediately wrong, go rush up. Pull them aside in private and talk to them. Say, let's sit down and discuss this thing. But you know what? You ought to be able to go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I think it is. Verse 21. Watch this. Don't tell me what you believe. Verse 21. Prove all things. Prove to me what you believe. You understand? Don't tell me what it said. Prove it to me. You know what proving it is? It's like without a shadow of a doubt. It's like you say, well, I believe in Paul being my apostle. Really? Show me. Well, you don't really believe it. Let me ask you a question. Anybody doubt whether I believe Paul's our apostle? How many here think I could prove it right now? You know, the question is, can you prove it? And if you can't, then you need to get in and study until you can. Say, well, what about Mrs. King? She's a woman. Yeah, but there may be some lady comes up to ask her, and she's got to have the answer for her as well. Amen. Now, I don't believe Miss King will ever be called to preach. She certainly should not assert authority over a man. Amen. But bless God, there's a lot of women that can help other women and children see the truth. Prove all things. Don't just say, I believe it. Prove it. If you can't prove that the rapture is before the tribulation, don't preach on it. Don't say, I believe it. If you're not sure what you believe, get in and study it until you do believe it. But don't take one verse. What should you do? Take as many as you can think to deal with that subject and study it out. That's why, you know, I think about what Paul said in the light of what 1 John said. You know, 1 John said you don't have a need of a teacher. If you have the unction teaches you all things. You don't have any need. Then there's no need for you to go to a church that believes in 1 John being written for the church that are teaching people. That went right over the pulpit and fell. I think it's still standing right there somewhere. Go to 1 John. Let me show you what I'm talking about. I mean, it bothers me. People say, well, preacher, I believe in 1 John being for the church. And they use 1 John 1:9. I bet you guys could quote that. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Hey, you guys have forgotten you've been in grace too long. You guys could quote that. And they say, but that's for the church. Well, bless God, this is what hypocrites are made out of. Watch this. Go to 1 John 2, verse 20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Do you? Then you don't have the unction. And if you don't have the unction, you're what? You'd be lost. Now watch verse 27. But the anointing which you have received abideth in you, and you need not that any man what? Now, if I believe it was 1 John, and I would teach 1 John 1:9, I'm in error of 1 John 2:27. I wouldn't need you to teach to confess your sins. You would have already known. They didn't. You see, guys, they didn't. Why, if Jim said it right on the nose, and I want to make sure you hear it on the internet. Why go to church? You know, look, you come here to learn, right? And I'm a teacher, preacher, and I teach the Word of God, right? You learn it, you put it in play. According to 1 John, you don't need any man to teach you. Look what it says. But the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even if it's been have taught you, you shall abide in Him. Hey, you're going to get the unction. These Pentecostal churches, they shouldn't even have Sunday school. You all understand that? They shouldn't have Sunday school. Why? If they have the unction, they should know all things. You know what we call people like that? They take 1 John 1:9 but won't take 1 John 2:27? A hypocrite. Well, that's mean. You're being mean. You're mean-spirited. I'm probably the least mean-spirited person you know. But just in case you think I'm mean-spirited, you ain't seen nothing yet. Y'all understand? How do you teach 1 John 1:9? You guys went to Baptist churches, amen, some of you guys in here, and they taught you 1 John 1:9. In fact, I had a guy up north tell me that 1 John was his favorite book. I'm like, really? Well, let's try 1 John. Go to 1 John 2. Boy, this really bummed him out. We're getting back to the law a little bit here. I think I'm healed. These glass things, I'm confused. You know, sometimes I put them on, but I can see this morning. I'm just like, whew. It's like I'm half Pentecostal or something and halfway heal myself. Sometimes I'm healed and sometimes I'm not. But I can read this morning. So, 1 John 2, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. And I read that to him and I said, you would have to keep all the laws. I started reading the laws. Well, he didn't know them. But you know, the Sabbath day, you know, we always talk about just keeping the Sabbath day. That's not what that law said. You know what it said? Thou shalt work 6 days, and on the seventh, you should rest. Now, I don't know about you, but I like working 5 days and having 2 days off. I do. It's kind of weird. I like having enough weekends so I can get in a golf game. And Sunday, by the way, is not my weekend. I work every weekend. But I try to take at least 2 days off, and sometimes I take 5. No, I'm just kidding. You know, come on, guys. It didn't say work 4 days and take 3 off, or work 5 days and take 2 days off. You know what the law said? Thou shalt work 6 days. Well, I hear preachers going up there all the time. Oh, I believe. And they want their 2 days off like everyone else. You know what we call those kind of people? Hypocrites. You know what Jesus would have called them? Hypocrites. You see, the problem is the Word says one thing and they do another. The law says one thing, they do another. Go back to Matthew chapter 5. Or Matthew 15. Not 5. I haven't had enough caffeine this morning. And by the way, this is brought to you by Diet Coke. Oh. Matthew 15. Everybody there? Verse 7. Ye hypocrites. Well, who said that? Jesus Christ said that, didn't He? Ye hypocrites. You know what people are that, you know, say, well, thus saith the Lord. And they have no idea what the Lord said. You know what they are? Hypocrites. Say, I don't like being called that. I was a hypocrite one time. I thought I knew what I was talking about. You know what Brother Moore said? It's best to shut your mouth and not be known than to open your mouth and let everybody know what you are. See, it's not what goes in a man that defiles him. What comes out your mouth is what defiles you. See, that was the problem. And so in verse 7, he says, ye hypocrite, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is what? Far from you. You know why? Because he isn't saying what God said. You know what? The law entered that the offense might abound. People act as if God entered the law back here so that entered the law that a man might be what? That wasn't why it was entered in. But that's what we've been told, amen? After you get saved, what you need to do is keep the commandments. How many heard that? It wasn't for a man to become righteous. It was a man to see his need of righteousness. Something other than himself, to have lost hope in himself. Saying, I can't do it. Yet teachers have taught us that after you're saved, you have the power to do it. No, you don't. Say, well, you're better than you used to be. No, I'm not. You ought to see Jim. Since he'd been in grace a little bit, I thought he'd just about... Whew. I'm playing with Jim back there. It's really Larry I'm thinking about. You know, Larry, since I met him, he was such a straight-laced guy, never did anything wrong. Since I've done that, since I've known him for 23 years, Harley Davidson's. You know, I used to live next to it. You ought to hear him when he comes into it. I was so glad to move away from that biker neighborhood. It is. Your dad would have a motorcycle if he could afford it. We'd see old Terry Pete up there riding a chopper going. I know he can't afford one, but if he could, he would. I mean, I'd listen to the music when Larry come by and it would be like, da na 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 na. We just ain't none, you didn't get better. You should have come to a realization of what you really are. You know, the realization is, you want to know what true spirituality is? You all want to know what it is? Would you all like to know what true spirituality is? It's the ability to be honest with yourself. I think the most spiritual statement in the world and in the Word is in Romans chapter 7. I think that if you want to know what it takes to become spiritual, to be able to say these words and mean it. You know, people can see the fakers. Amen? They can see it. You know, you're not hiding from anyone. These are probably, to me, a person that has finally grown up in Christ can do this. I believe that this is true spirituality. I'm going to start in verse 10. You can start anywhere, but I'm just going to cut right in. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Well, that's incredible, isn't it? For sin, taking occasion by the commandments, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandments holy, and just and good. Was then that which was good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin. I would put Romans chapter 5, verse 20 right there. In your Bible. But sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandments might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual. Everybody say this. But I am carnal, sold under sin. You see, that's a very honest statement, isn't it? The law is right. And if I could keep it, I would be right. But you know what I found something true about me? Is I'm carnal and I'm sold under sin. You know what? I've tried to be good. I remember when I first became a pastor 23 years ago of this church. And the realization was, is I gave up everything, tried to sin snuff my life. And the more I stuffed out, the more flames came up in a different area. I mean, it never seemed like I could ever conquer it. And you know what? And then I realized in grace, God's not, you know, because I wanted to be an example to the church. And you know what? The example isn't being the great guy. The example is showing what it feels like to be me. He said, now watch this. For that which I do not, For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now watch this. Now then it is no more I that doeth, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me. I know that in me, there that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me. How many here want to do the will of God? I do. I would love to serve God with the right capacity. But you know what he says? For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good. You mean, Paul, you really didn't figure it out? No. You know what? You can't figure it out. It's by faith. That is very difficult. Amen? That is very difficult. Why? It's untangible. Things that are tangible are easy. Amen? Things that are untangible. You know what, guys? Listen. Listen to this passage. For the good that I would... Do you really believe that of yourself? But the evil that I would not... That's pretty wild, isn't it? You know, I've strived to be a great Christian. The more I did, the more I was denouncing really what the Lord had done. Say, well, preacher, you're not any good. Amen. There's a great song by Wayne, if you're listening to this, you ought to look it up and put it on our soundtrack. It's Eli. And it's all his name is Eli. And you know what he says? He's got this song. There's two songs on the same album that is just fantastic. One says, I'm a hypocrite, the hypocrite song. He says, I'm going to be in heaven with a bunch of hypocrites like me. You know? You know what's going to be in heaven? Bunch of hypocrites. Sinners. You know? And I thought, boy, that guy's got it right. And then the other thing, he says, cheated, I have lied, he goes on. He is doing Romans chapter 7 down to a T. You know, we don't want to admit what we really are. We'd be embarrassed if we got up and said, okay, Terry, we want you to come up here and stand up here and tell us what you really are. I mean, we try to make ourselves look good with college degrees and stuff. Well, I'm a doctor, Snodgrass. I'm impressed. You see? I mean, that's what we do, isn't it? Well, when someone says, I'm Dr. such and such, I'm like, okay. He's more full of himself than he ought to be. Amen? Now, if I call him doctor, that's one thing. But if a guy comes up and I said, I'm Dr. Davis, I'm like, whoopee. You know what I mean? They're impressed with themselves. They probably look in the mirror and say, oh, man, look at me. I am so smart. You know, I always thought about doctors being smart. If they're so daggone smart, how come they kill 300,000 people with false drugs and they have an 8-year degree to kill you? If they're so smart, stop doing that! Stop doing that! You know, you save the healthcare system, quit killing people! 300,000 people. Do you realize in Vietnam it was 10 years long, the conflict, and they actually had cannons, missiles, rockets shooting at each other and they only killed 55,000 in the 10 years? Yet doctors with an 8-year degree, so smart, kill 300,000 people every year! Hello! I'm Dr. This. Yikes! You know? Paul didn't go around saying, I'm the great evangelist, Paul. Hi, I'm Paul, the great evangelist. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. You can tell the truth of a spiritual man. Listen to what comes out of his mouth. I watch. You ever watch TVN? Now, I know you don't think it's a comedy channel, but you really got to watch it a little bit. It's got a comedy twist to it. Well, I built this great ministry and all that, and I'm like, really? See you at the judgment seat of Christ. Not. Think about it. They just start to vary just a little bit off the truth. People just vary with them till finally you don't even recognize the truth. I know that there's people that when they get here, they don't want to drink the Kool-Aid right away. Just in case. You know what William said when he saw our program on TV? He told me that today. He said, absolute truth. You know what William thought? Yeah, right. You know, I hear these men on TV brag about their ministries and the things they're doing and all the big deals, you know. I watched, my dad has 358 Brother Moore programs on a disc. Television, all of his television broadcast on a disc, 358. Or 385, I don't know how many, a lot. And Brother Moore stood up there with that chalkboard, and just to make sure everything fit, he wrote little marks on there so that he could tell what was going to be seen on the TV. Now, the cameras actually do that for you nowadays, but back then I guess they didn't do that. And so he would stand, and he built a pulpit out of paneling. And he had a cardboard strip on the front that had his telephone number on it. I know, I filmed him. I said, we clean this up. He said, there's no need to. He said, I don't want them to impress them with me. And he'd get up there and preach. And I looked at some of those old messages and when I was at my dad's, and I thought, you know, there's a Paul. There's a Paul. You ever get impressed with you? You ought to stop. You're not very impressive. I'm not very impressive. You know what God's impressed with? His Son, the Word of God. You want to impress somebody? Go show them the Word of God. Amen? Go show them that. And right now, you show people that you can be gracious and kind and go get a cup of coffee because it's break time. See you back in a few minutes.